Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. My dear pal Matt Serra is out today. He will be back for Thursday's episode. I have a brilliant comic, Dan Soder, in with me today. We have Wyclef Jean comes in. I almost said Wyclef Juan, but that would have been stupid. Wyclef, a really fun, big UFC fan. And the great Anderson, the Spider Silva! What's better than Bruce Buffer's call? And what's worse than me doing it?
He may finish it here.
UFC and digital media present UFC Unfiltered with Jim Norton and Matt Serra, powered by digital media. Find your voice. And now, your hosts, Jim Norton and Matt Serra.
Well, that's only half right. Matt Serra is not here today. We knew Matt would be out today. So he'll be here Wednesday. Although I might not be here Wednesday or Thursday.
Oh, really?
Because I'm shooting something.
Okay.
So I might not be here. I hate to break the bad news. You can hear the fucking cheers going up. So my pal Dan Soder is here with me today. Thank you, Dan, for sitting in.
Yeah, thanks for having me in.
It's always good to have friends that are UFC fans.
Yeah. I have a couple friends that are UFC fans, but it's always weird when I forget that some of my friends aren't.
Right.
And then I get excited about a fight, and they'll be like, oh, you're a UFC fan? You're like, it's not 1995 right. anymore. It's a very popular sport.
It's not
sport.
A weird thing to say.
Yeah. People are like, oh, you're a UFC fan. You're like, yeah. Right. And then they, what even blows their mind more is when you're like, I'm a casual UFC fan. So I watch it sometimes.
Sometimes.
But I'm not like a diehard. And then they're like, well, how can you not be a diehard and still be a fan? You're like, I don't know. Do you like basketball? Sometimes? Yeah. I don't know. That's weird.
Sometimes. But, yeah, being a casual sports fan is better. Especially a team fan. Because this way it doesn't hurt as much.
Yeah. The Super Bowl is fun to watch.
We also have Wyclef Jean coming in. And Anderson Silva on the phone. So it'll be a busy show. And yeah, the Super Bowl, I've taken two Super Bowl dumps. I went to Bob Kelly's, my friend Bob Kelly, and it was really chilly, bit spicy for my taste, if you want the truth. And it was fun to watch, but because I didn't care. If I was a Falcons fan, I would literally be hanging myself today.
Yeah, that's my best friend from middle school is on the coaching staff. Oh, and I was texting with him yesterday, and I feel like I have to give him like a whole week. In order to even just be like, sorry.
You were texting with him during the game?
Before the game.
What'd you say?
I was like, hey, man, good luck. I'm going to be cheering on the Falcons. And he's like, yeah, man, we're prepared. It was all this stuff. And then, like, by halftime, I was like, man, Mike's going to get a ring. And then by the end of the game, I was like.
He did. He got a ring from the fucking, the owner. You're fired.
Yeah. Well, he might, you know, Kyle Shanahan's supposed to take over the, I'm a big 49ers fan. Kyle Shanahan's supposed to take over the 49ers. And I'm like. Oh, he might go there. So that'd be kind of cool if one of my best friends from middle school was on my favorite team.
That's devastating for a fan, though, because they were kicking the shit out of the Patriots. Patriots stunk. They were playing terrible. And I guess that, you know, look, sometimes it happens. You get excited. You forget that there's a second half. I think the Falcons were wrong. They thought they won at halftime.
Well,
the game's over. Oh, wait. We got to come back out? Oh, fuck.
And everybody I was watching with, everybody on TV was like, well, this is just not how the Patriots play. This game's over. And then they slowly start marching back, and you're like, oh, man.
It's the long halftime, though. That's the thing. It takes an hour between quarters.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a long wait.
And how phenomenal was Lady Gaga? Let's cut this shit.
Yeah. Her flying down.
That was fake. I didn't like when she jumped. That cheesy jump.
Ugh.
It was like a jump they do in a fucking play.
Yeah.
You know when they jump, you know there's cushions there. They over-enunciate. Here I go.
Yeah.
Kind of stunk.
Or it's like a music movie from the 70s, like a Grease or something where they're diving. You're like, stop. The beginning is something me and my roommate kept talking about. Is there ever a moment in Lady Gaga's head where she's like, this is pretty insane. I'm just on the top of the stadium.
I heard she didn't do it that live.
Oh, that was all.
I heard that was pre-taped because they couldn't get the air rights for the stadium. For the drones. All those were drones behind her.
That's
American
terrifying.
American flag drones. And it was beautifully done. And they coordinated it great. But they could not get air rights for the game. And I get it. Because they don't want somebody fucking dropping a bomb on the football game. So she had to. That was probably on a monitor. I don't know how they. Unless they just filmed her lip syncing in the beginning. And then she jumped down and sang live.
I don't know. But is anyone else freaked out by the how they're trying to normalize robots in our house now?
I love it.
I hate it.
Why?
No way, man. That's Big Brother shit. That's...
I love Big Brother. Wait till there's a little, like, you know, 3-foot-high robot mouth that just kind of comes in and then goes back and then comes in and then goes back. It's phenomenal,
That's going to be so scary.
I can't wait for robots.
Call me John Connor. I'm going to start smashing any of those Amazon things when I walk into someone's house.
It's great. It saves us trouble.
No, they just listen. They're just listening.
They do.
And they're there.
Alexa.
Alexa's like, oh, let me get you that. And you're like, how do you, you shouldn't know that.
Let me do this. Alexa, play Sam Kinison. Because right now, people who are hearing this, hopefully you have children in the house.
You whore! Ah! What are you doing, Alexa?
Yeah.
I just put Jake down for a nap. Yeah, that's...
Alexa, play John Valby.
Alexa, order dildos from Amazon.
It's got all your pay information?
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah, well, you know when the Xbox One came out and they did the voice activation?
Yep.
Like Xbox turned on. They had a commercial with actor Aaron Paul from Breaking Bad. And there was a rumor that his commercial was turning on people's Xboxes because he was like, Xbox, turn on. And then they're all around the country. All these fucking Xboxes are just randomly turning on.
Well, you know, Trump and whoever is president, I'm sure Obama had it too, they cannot have a phone that can take pictures. They cannot have a phone that has any type of camera on it. And I'm guessing because that's hackable.
Yeah.
And if it's hackable, somebody can get in. So there's zero ability to... Plus, you have a photographer with you at all times. You don't need to do a selfie. You just got a guy...
I wish someone was here to take this. Oh, there's a guy just does that.
That's right. There's a guy with a machine gun who will take it. You know, that's probably why. So I heard Trump does not have that. And nobody as president has it. You have to use a pretty basic, secure phone, which would kind of suck if you like sexting.
What if they gave him a wind-up? Like one of those disposable...
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah. A fun one?
Like, all right, yeah. And he's like, okay, we'll have these back to you in a week, sir.
I remember I had one of those, a wind-up one, where it was like, fut, fut, fut. And me and Godfrey, who's a comedian, were in the Comedy Cellar, and Chaka Khan walked by. What? And we went to get our picture taken with Chaka Khan. Or is it Chaka Khan? This thing fell.
Oh, I'll fix it.
I think it's Chaka. I think you're right.
Chaka Khan.
Yeah.
And we went and got our photo taken with those shitty cameras. And I still have those photos. Terrible story, by the way. Supposed to be heartwarming.
It was just you chasing down an 80s celebrity.
Yeah. Well, this was years ago.
Yeah.
This wasn't. It's probably 2000.
Maybe. I think. Do they even sell disposable cameras now?
I don't know. I think that. Yeah, yeah. You'll get them once in a while. Like if you do a fun, they'll be on the tables and stuff like that. They still sell them.
Okay.
Did you watch the fights?
I watched
every fight. Finally, I watched every fight this weekend. It was an unbelievable card in Buffalo.
Yeah, I had spots, but I came home and watched all the... I watched the wrap-up on a couple different websites, and it seemed like one of those cards. It's always the cards that I don't record that I regret the most.
Right.
Because there was like three great knockouts. There was a couple decisions, but the fights were exciting the whole time. And then I went back and I watched some of the full fights after watching the highlights.
The Dennis Bermudez was obviously the main event against... the Korean zombie, Chan Sung Chung. And he hadn't fought, what was it, 3.5 years? Because of his military service.
Yeah, man, South Korea makes you do it where you got to come and serve even if you're a top athlete.
Yeah, he had lost a fight to Jose Aldo because of a shoulder injury, got surgery.
Yeah.
And then fought for the first time. And Bermudez was doing really well.
When I watched the highlights, it made me want to go back and watch the fight because you see obviously it was only a one-round fight, but...
Right.
Bermudez came out fast.
Yep.
And it just looked like the Korean zombie hadn't fought in 3 years.
Yeah, and I think by the way, I wrote notes on all the fights, and I'm this is what a worthless asshole I am. They're backwards. What? So the last one I have, they're in order of the fights, but I should have written them in order of importance.
Yeah.
So stupid.
Oh, in descending order as opposed to.
Yeah. But I have to go backwards now. But I wrote because he seemed like he was being very aggressive, and I guess the zombie had a 6-inch reach advantage.
Yeah.
So it seemed like he was trying to kind of make up for that, and I'm guessing too that he was assuming he was going to have a little ring rust. Yeah. That's my guess, that he was thinking that he might be a little rusty after 3.5 years. So he's being like really like just trying to like shock and awe, and it was working.
Yeah, he caught him twice. I mean, one of those rights, I thought it was done. Like when he hit him once, he kind of backed up, and I was like, right. I thought he was going to just go in. But then you see the Korean zombie just use that jab. That he used that length. That was how you could tell.
He found a little bit of rhythm, like I guess halfway through the round, and he slipped a jab and then that uppercut. I've never seen him more perfectly. That was like the one Ngannou knocked out Glover Teixeira.
Yeah,
a perfectly placed ugly uppercut, right? Like literally, you couldn't have gotten it on the chin more beautifully.
If he aimed for it, if he put his chin out
first, he would have missed. He would have hit him in the neck. Yeah. Or he would have hit him in the nose.
Yeah.
There's no way to hit a jaw that perfectly. And Bermudez just was out.
Yeah, lights out.
Did he hit him again after that? Or he literally just collapsed. I think that was
He went down on him and dropped a couple.
Yeah, I think he might have landed one after, but that was obviously the one that put him out.
Yeah.
But you always know it's a clean fight and a quick fight in the press conference. Korean Zombie just looks so clean and
fresh, happy.
He looked like he just got to the venue.
How did I felt? I didn't watch the press conference. I felt bad for Bermudez though, because you know I like him and he's ranked in the top 10. I don't know what his ranking is. I should probably know that, but I don't.
Yeah, I don't remember. Maybe
or is he not
like that? No, he is.
Is he the number 9 fighter?
I didn't watch his press conference just because I felt how happy Sung was in the Korean Zombie was in his press conference. You're like, oh, it's got to be the opposite with Bermudez, where he's just like, I had it, and then I got knocked out.
Yeah, I watched the little. By the way, Brian Stan is great. Brian Stan is such a good. I guess he play by play guy in UFC. I guess you would say play by play, but he is really tremendous. And I wrote down some amazing call he made right before it happened, and it's in 5 pages of notes. So don't count on me talking about it. And the fight of the night was Andrade against Hill. Am I saying her name right?
Yeah, Jessica Andrade.
Why do you have an Andrade? It's just too weird.
Andrade.
That was tremendous. She was supposed to beat Hill. She was like heavily favored. And didn't Dana already offer her Jędrzejczyk? And she said she wanted to fight once more in the division to see if she liked that weight.
Yes.
That's a very dangerous
move.
Yeah.
Fuck Cowboy. Fighting when you don't have to fight. Like, he could have just waited and taken another fight.
But there's something also very endearing about that, where you're kind of like, as a fan, like, Cerrone's my favorite fighter, and that makes me like him even more, even if he did lose, because you're like, this dude's just taking fights.
Yeah, but you got to be smart about it, too, especially as you're getting older, and, you know, he wants to fight for the championship again.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a dangerous fight. He did not need to take it. He just fought recently. He could have waited. I thought that was a stupid move.
But Andrade, it sounds like an artist Prince helped out.
Literally, she fights like Jake LaMotta. She reminds me of Jake LaMotta, where she does not do anything but move forward.
Yeah.
And she just has like that little kind of compact back and forth boxing style. And it was like watching LaMotta fight if he was a woman and alive now and Brazilian.
And that, I think that.
Well, he is alive, but he's not fighting. Yeah. He's not fighting in the fucking 40s.
But I think that style has made its way over to MMA, that Mexican style of boxing, just advance, like take one to give two.
Yeah.
And it's starting to show up a lot in boxing. Yeah. And it's really starting to mess with people like Cerrone, who got caught.
Yeah.
Because that was a boxer. Or with like Holly Holm when she fought Ronda Rousey. It was like that nonstop relenting, keep coming. I'm going to throw, even if you hit me, I'm still going to hit you with two more.
It was like watching, like, you know, and with LaMotta, it was always take 40 to give out one good one.
Yeah.
But it was like watching, Angela Hill was like watching Jake and Sugar Ray.
Yeah.
She was like tall. She had a big reach advantage. You know, her kicks were awesome. Like, she was really, really fucking tough. Like, what an amazing jaw she had. Like, there's no way. She should have been knocked out probably in every round. There were shots that should have put her down. She was very tough.
So how quick do you think Dana turns around and gives her a title shot?
Well, she fought 3 rounds. It was a decision, and it was not an easy fight.
Yeah.
So she has to wait a little while. But Jędrzejczyk is, I'm sure, pretty ready to fight. So the next fight will be. When did she fight? She fought in New York. That was her last fight.
Yeah, which that was a tough fight for her.
It was, it was a 5-round decision,
yeah,
right?
205.
Yep.
So wait, that was, what are we in now? February, April, not in April.
You think May or June?
You don't think they'll wait till the July 4th card, do you?
Maybe. I'm not really sure. I'm not
March,
sure if
April,
she's...
May, June, that's 5 months.
Yeah.
Maybe that could be it. Or will they use it as a main event somewhere?
Yeah. Well, I would think it'd be a main event probably. I mean, unless it's a really stacked card.
Yeah, she's usually not in a main event in JSX. She's not usually, isn't she usually a co-main?
Yeah, she could be. It depends. Depends what's on the card.
I want to go way back. To the, I know I'm jumping all over the place, but let me find out where my notes are on fucking Curtis Blaydes, Adam Milstead.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the call. That was the call. First of all,
the knee.
I've never seen anybody thrown around
more
than Blaydes threw Milstead around. I've never seen and you're only going to see that in heavyweight division because he came in, I think, what was it, 265 and 230? There's a 30-pound weight difference.
Yeah, but he was, I mean... The way he was tossing him around was, it looked like, I don't think I've seen that in the heavyweight division.
Have you ever seen that in a fight?
No.
I've never seen a guy put down so
even with
brutally.
Like a Cain Velasquez or who used to just kind of mow people down in the heavyweight division.
Right.
You just, that slam that he had where he got him, it was like a suplex. It was like a perfect suplex.
Right.
And you're like, Blaydes is, and his name's badass. And he's training in like an awesome camp and he's kind of just, you know. Yeah, he's a fun guy to watch. He was a real fun guy to watch.
He is a really, really fun guy to watch. And he hurt him very early. And again, he fought Ngannou And I guess the second round there's a stoppage because of his eye.
Yeah. Yep.
But he's a very, very tough guy. And I've never seen a fighter manhandle. Like, you knew immediately what that fight was going to be.
Yeah.
And you knew Milstead knew it. He was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, when he got his hands on him, he's like, ah, this guy is just going to fucking toy with me.
And he had an injury to his right knee, which they showed you in replay. And this is where Brian Stann is so great. Because I didn't catch it, obviously.
Yeah.
But you could see he went down. He was in pain. And Stann, in the in-between round, said that they should not let him go back out and fight. He said that's a bad job by the coaching because part of their job is to look out for this guy and not let them go out and they get criticized because a lot of times they never stop a fighter from going back out.
Yeah.
So Brian Stann did such an amazing job of calling that because then, you know, what was it, a minute into the second round?
Yeah.
He dislocates his knee and it was very obvious.
It's ugly, yeah.
And it was a verbal stoppage, a verbal tap.
Yeah.
You don't see them very often. Silva, when he broke his leg against Wyman, well, I guess,
yeah, when he
was a verbal one. But that was the audience. I think he heard 17,000 people go, ah!
And then people following up with throwing up.
Yeah.
But the weird thing is that the corners don't stop it.
Never.
And it happens way more in boxing where a loss is way more detrimental to your career than it is in MMA. And it's weird that there isn't any corners that are stepping in. Like in boxing, the last Golovkin fight where he shattered his opponent's orbital bone and they stopped and you're like, oh, you couldn't even tell watching the fight. And I don't think the ref could tell, but finally the corner came in and I've just never seen that in UFC. If you know the guy's knee's gone and he's getting tossed around, you should probably stop it.
There was one fight that kind of annoyed me. And this is on the main card. Again, I apologize. I staple these things. Now, my memory is really bad.
You're like a professor that's just like coming in and going over the notes, like a really good scientific professor.
Well, Dana said he wanted to hire two people to do this podcast, one who was a welterweight champion and one who did too many drugs when he was younger, and his memory stinks, and I threw my hand up.
Yeah.
I'm ready. It's amazing what I remember and what I don't remember. Like my memory for important work things is shit.
Yeah.
But you asked me for a movie quote in 1974, and I'll give it to you. You know why? Because women don't fuck you for that. Anything a woman won't fuck you for, my memory is spot on. Was Hamos against Tanaka. Is that how you say it? Or Tanaka?
No, Tanaka. Yeah.
Tanaka. That, a bantamweight fight, it was Hamos by decision, unanimous decision. But I've never seen a fighter dance around another fighter. And Herb Dean in the third round kept saying, engage, engage, engage. And he said, if you don't engage, I'm going to take a point. I've never seen a fighter threaten to have a point removed if he did not engage the other fighter. That's what I would do if I fought. I don't blame him. They would have to say to me, Jim, engage.
Soft
engage.
Shoes Norton.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're singing Minnie the Moocher on the outside.
Hide, hide.
Yeah. Let me tell you sorry about it. I mean, I guess they're just dancing. The cardio kid.
Yeah.
But that was the...
Well, when people criticize like Connor for it when he was gassed in the Diaz fight.
Yes.
But that's a difference than... Tanaka just dancing.
Dude, he was all
purely
over.
Purely dancing.
First of all, and that blonde hair, he looked like he's wearing Khabib's hat. He was very uncomfortable to look at. And I also, who's the woman, the Australian, Tisha Torres against Beck Rollins? Rollins. Yeah. Her purple hair, is that not, like, it sounds weird, right? But is that not at all distracting to the other fighter?
It's got
to
be.
Like, on some level, are you allowed to just do that? Like, does that not, like, fuck your eye line up when you're eye contact looking to fight? I thought of that through that fight. I'm like, does that not bother her?
Yeah, it's got to be. I mean, they're probably looking for every psychological advantage they can get. If you're changing your hair, if you, you know, if you have a beard or just to, you know, like, rub your face on someone's arm. There's got to be small stuff like that all the time that you're not thinking about. But absolutely, the hair's got to be.
The face. The face. Like, you know, like when you see Brock Lesnar and that giant gargoyle head rubbing that scruff on something, you're like, that has got to be awful.
Yeah, it's got to be like one of those SOS like Brillo pads.
Yeah, with a
just on your arm,
a big meathead.
Yeah,
a heavyweight fucking jock head, angry and looking to hurt you.
Yeah, I can't imagine being terrified and annoyed.
Yeah,
while you're like, ah, stop, but also you're like, if I let go of your head right now, I'm gonna get pulverized. Especially Brock Lesnar, if a guy like that, if he gets you on the ground and he's just using that to move around, that's
very, very. So that fight kind of bugged me a little bit. Khalil Roundtree put out Jolly, and that was like literally the first night on Fight Pass, prelims of the night, and it was a first round knockout. And I guess did he shoot for a takedown? And he put his knee, he timed it, where he waited till Jolly pulled his hand up and he drilled his knee. I mean, I've never seen a more perfectly placed knee.
Yeah, Jolly went for like a double leg. And Khalil just grabbed him and was like, this isn't happening.
I didn't even see, because I missed that. I didn't watch the prelims.
That to me, Khalil Roundtree is a beast. And that was a really, really great, hello, sir.
What's up, baby?
Yeah.
Wycliffe is here. Thank you for coming.
What up? What up?
We're talking about the fights. Do you watch them, or did you watch them this weekend?
Yeah. So it's funny. So I'm coming in here, and the publicist is about to hand me a UFC paper for a briefing. I was like, don't disrespect me like that. You might want to send that to Drake. You know. this is like one of my favorite sports. You know, I mean, I'm a mixed martial artist. Coming up with the Fugees, I was obsessed 20 something years ago, right?
Yeah.
So remember, a lot of the movement was starting off in Brazil,
yeah,
with the Gracie brothers. So I used to have people tapping out on the bus early.
How much fun is it to do that to somebody who doesn't train at all? That's got to be really satisfying to tap somebody who's never trained.
No, if you never trained before, it's going to be finished.
So were you were into the UFC back when, like, the first one in Denver, and then when they
Shamrock,
were doing, like, yeah.
I'm saying, like, I'm, like, heavy. Yeah. So when she's giving me, I'm like, you kidding me right now? So it's funny because then I went to Brazil, too. I was amazed by the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then I was amazed by the Gracies. You know, the original, the size of these boys and how they was putting them out. And people have to understand, with the mixed martial arts, it's really all about the chi, right? So the energy comes from the mind. So I'm like a huge... So it's like now to watch how the sport has come so big, you know what I mean? It definitely was insane and stuff.
Do you meditate?
Meditation is definitely part of what we do. Especially like in my business, right? So similar to, so you know how you go into the cage and there's the adrenaline, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, before you go in, it's that pump up. It's the same way. So before we jump on that stage, it's like you have to go through a stage like, you know, it's almost like you're punching yourself, you're calm, and then you go into it. I mean, meditation is definitely part of it. You know what I mean?
I need to meditation is supposed to be good. For years, I would walk on stage negatively.
Yeah.
I would kind of set myself up to fail. Like, look, they're going to hate your guts. And then I would just go on. And if they like me, it was a plus. It was a positive.
That's exactly what I do. Before I go on stage, I'm like, all right, this is going to go terrible. I always say, set the bar low enough and you can just like walk over it. But I don't think that's a good thing.
Yeah, it's not healthy to do. You don't have to set yourself up to fail just to feel comfortable. Yeah. But it was just a way of having low self-esteem and feeling okay about walking on stage.
Big time. I had a question for you.
Sure.
Joy St. Pierre.
I don't think he's coming back. I don't want to see him come back, to be honest. Yeah. I don't want to see those guys.
I have like hardcore UFC questions.
I don't want to see
you guys that said pro, like,
I'm just filling in. I'm friends with Jim, and I'm a comic.
Yeah, Matt Sarah is normally the co-host, but Matt was out today. Uh-huh. But I kind of, I don't want to see GSP fight. And he's a part of that, the organization now, all the fighters, him and Cowboy and a few others. Uh-huh. They're trying to kind of unionize in a way.
Yeah, exactly.
But I don't want to see him fight. I don't want to see BJ fight. Those guys, like, I wouldn't want to see Liddell fight at this point. I'm amazed that Rampage is still fighting. Amazed that Tito is still fighting.
Yeah.
I like these guys. You don't want to see them get hurt by some 25-year-old dude.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like when Hoist Gracie came back and fought Matt Hughes.
Yeah, I saw
And you were kind of like,
because it's like the legends. You'd be like, yo, you don't want to see them rock out and stuff.
Yeah, you don't want to see them get hurt.
That's interesting. That's interesting.
Because plus, this is where UFC is so great. And I say that I'm trumping for the company, but there's always fights I want to see that I care about with young fighters. And they're great at getting you interested in the new talent. Like, every division has fighters I like. Every card has fights I like.
Yeah.
And in Francis Ngannou now is my favorite.
Yeah.
He's just, there's no one I enjoy watching someone out in 30 seconds more than him.
And they do a good job on all their cards of premiering like the young guys, where you get to see a guy like Curtis Blaydes just toss someone around. You're like, now I want to see his next fight.
I want to see his next fight.
Because that guy was just tossing.
How would he do against a guy like Cain Velasquez, who's a lot faster
than
Milstead, who he was fighting, you know?
Yeah. So you ever trained, though?
No. You know, it's funny. Matt's always telling me to go, and he the Gracie's in the city.
Yeah.
There's two reasons. A, my cardio stinks. B, I'm lazy. This is three reasons. And the third reason would be I have tendonitis in my right arm.
Okay.
But I do want to, just because it's everyone who does it loves it and says it's addicting.
Okay.
And you've been doing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu for...
I've been doing mixed martial arts since I've been 14. And also in Brazil, like when I'm on stage, I do... I also dance a lot, too. So I do a lot of capoeira.
All right.
And then I also do like CrossFit, but I know the intensity of the reason why I was asking you if you train, because I'm back in the city, so I'm trying to get in and rock out with some boys, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even on my record company, you know, I said, look, I'm gonna be gauzed up, I'm gonna be fine, you know. But I really, really like the sport, the combat and the art, because for mixed martial arts, it's really like playing chess.
Yeah.
It's really, it's a very, because, you know, with boxing, like, you're going head on, you know what I mean? Like, whether the dude's applying southpaw or whatever. With kickboxing, you know, with mixed martial arts, it's like you don't know what combination's coming at you.
Yeah.
Know what I mean? You literally have to study the fight.
And do you go to the events sometimes, too? Do you go to the fights?
Man, I've been to a few, and I've been to a few in Vegas, but mostly because I move a lot and stuff. And a shout out to my tour manager who's listening, Charmin Nonsense, who's a complete UFC buff. He asked me to ask you about the dude who's fighting, who wants to fight Mayweather.
Oh, Conor McGregor.
Yeah, Conor.
Yeah, I don't need to see that
fight. Yeah, he's like, yo, he's like, he listens to you, he's like, yo, ask him about Conor. He'll just be raw. He's raw.
I want to see. I don't particularly care for Conor. I'll watch him just to watch him lose. So it doesn't really matter why you buy the pay per views. You know what I mean? Like guys like that are fine with that. As long as you watch, they don't care. Mayweather knows people don't like him. I don't like him either. I don't want to see that fight though. I want to see Conor defend his belt against Khabib. I want to see Khabib fight him or Tony Ferguson.
I would love to see a Khabib Conor fight, and I think a Conor Mayweather fight as a boxing fan and an MMA fan, it's like a boxing fan, you're like, that's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous that Conor can think he can, like, I know he's got a great left hand, but Floyd Mayweather is defensively the greatest boxer of all time.
Yeah, you're not going to lay it.
Left hand's not going to touch Mayweather.
Yeah, I'm obsessed with Mayweather, just his style of fighting. I think it's a gift. I was actually at probably the last fight with him and Berto.
Yeah.
Andre Berto.
I didn't see it.
Yeah. It was great.
Yeah, it was the last fight.
I mean, the way he rolls his shoulder, it's like no one can get a clean shot on Mayweather. And even when they do, Mayweather's so good that he can just go back in and reset between rounds, then come back out and then just slowly dismantle him. Yeah. You were talking about like a chest.
You know what I love about, like, whether we talk about boxing or martial arts, the person who studies it from the ancient level, because there's things that when you learn from the oracles, like the way Mayweather studied and the way he learned how to fight, because of that, automatically from the dad, from the uncle, mm-hmm. You know, this is why I love like mixed martial arts, whether if it's boxing, because anything that comes from the level of studying like ancient, like, so if you get a personal master who actually teaches you something, it's totally different.
Yeah.
And that's how he fights.
Did you start training because you grew, I know you grew up in Newark, and did you train because you grew up like, okay, I have to learn how to fight because, you know, going to school every day?
I came from Haiti when I was 10.
Oh, so, you were 10. Okay.
Yeah, I came 10 and I lived in Brooklyn. Then by the time I was 13, I was between Newark and Brooklyn. And once again, fighting for me, it was a natural thing, right? Because at the end of the day, when you come from the projects, you got to be good with your hands very quick. So we West Indians learn the hands and the feet game.
Yeah.
And now I'm even like deeper into it even more. Like, you know, I don't know if you guys like the Tiger Showman guys.
I mean,
I just seen them around town. I don't train.
Actually,
I have nothing.
They're very, very impressive. Like the owners of Tiger Showman. Sometimes I take Tiger Showman classes. I always like to mix things up because just say like we in the ring and we sparring and we having fun. I think the more you mix it up and the more you learn from whether if it's boxing, you know, kicking, different things. It works.
Which do you prefer out of them? If you're going to do something, okay, I want to work out today. Do you want to box or do you want to roll around and do jiu-jitsu or which of those do you like the best?
Man, you know what? I think the thing about I like to mix it up. The reason why I like Tiger Showman, I like to be boxing, I like to be kicking. But one of my favorite thing is grappling, right? Because that gets you get sweated, dude, in literally like 7 to 8 minutes, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm a bit of a grappler.
I like that. Yeah, Matt always talks about how much he loves just grabbing a limb and ripping an arm off. He's like, there's nothing that feels better than grabbing somebody's arm. And that's what I want to learn more than anything, because if you're, you know, in real life walking around, we don't walk around shirtless and fighting cages. Walk around with shirts and sweaters. And he looks at clothes and he's like, that's a gift. If someone's wearing a jacket, you could choke up. Like, he looks at things differently than I do.
So do you think it's like training gi jiu-jitsu would probably be held obviously better in real life than non-gi, because no one's going to be all slippery if you're fighting him in the street.
That's right. Because the bottom line is when you're on the street, people's already dressed. You know what I mean? And usually, when things like that occur, they're not going to occur when you're in the shower.
Yeah. Right.
They're going to occur like in real life. You could be at the bar, at a concert, in the movies, you know what I mean?
But you could pick a fight with one of those guys that loves to take his shirt off right before a fight. And you're now I got to go non-gi.
I
say,
you don't want to flex, bro.
You watch those fights. There's videos online of people getting knocked out. And like that's why I don't talk shit, because it's so ugly. It's not like the movies. When a guy gets knocked down, just hits his head on a curb or a bumper. It's just humiliating.
Well, there's a part of
that.
Yeah, when you watch a real knockout, even in fighting, that Bernard Hopkins knockout, I saw that and I was like, oh.
Through the ring.
Yeah, it just broke my heart because he's the executioner. I love watching him fight. And you watch even a pro take like that.
Yeah.
You watch him take a knockout like that and you're like, ugh. But then you watch a video on like World Star or something like that and you're like, ah, right when they snore.
Yeah, you could have walked away.
Yeah.
Man, I tell you, when y'all saying that, I'm having flashbacks. I mean, definitely RIP to Kimbo.
Yeah.
No disrespect. Great brawler.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like the ring is just a totally different thing. That's what I was saying. When it's like, when it's that mix, when you're mixing the styles, it's totally different.
Yeah.
And when you're fighting on the street, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's like you're fighting professionals. And I remember I was really amazed by UFC guys when I first interviewed Chuck Liddell, because Kimbo's videos were so watched by everybody. Yeah. And to a non-fighter, you watch that, you're like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
But then you watch the way a fighter reacts to that. And you're like, yeah, he's all right. Like, legit, not bashing him, but just literally, he fights okay. Like,
do you think it's the way, like, you would watch, like, we would watch an open mic tape and you'd be like, oh, that guy's got stuff? Or like someone being funny at The Office? I'm trying to think what's the comedic equivalent of watching, like, a.
Like the way Liddell would watch a Kimbo? Yeah, it's probably the guy at The Office who tells jokes and the people, like, he's so funny, but then if he goes on stage, we'd fucking hate him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand that.
Because Conor getting in the ring, we were talking about mixing it up. Conor in the octagon can kick, and he's got great kicks, can move around, but you put him in that boxing ring with boxing shoes on, and it's like it's going to come from his hands, and that's it.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I said. But we all, this is another thing, right? So if you watch different fighters, everyone has their strong points. And the minute that bell rings, everyone go to their strong point.
Yeah.
It's like you have but so much, you know what I'm saying to you? So, like, for me, my strong point is like my kicks, you know what I'm saying? So I automatically try to, you know, and as you can see, it's so funny, within the first 20 seconds, you could see everyone goes to their go, because you're really trying to end it automatically.
Yes, quickly.
Quickly.
Yeah. So you like your legs best. That's what you're most comfortable with.
Yeah, definitely. I'm real comfortable with my legs, and I'm real comfortable with the floor.
Yeah.
So, like, you get me on the floor, I'm like, I'm comfortable.
Leg kickers are very surprising. Like, those are my favorite guys to watch, are those Brazilian guys like Edson Barboza that just, Aldo, that will destroy your legs. And then two rounds in, you just see, like, it's purple. The side of a guy's leg is purple. That's what I love watching, is those guys that will ruin your legs. Because it's impossible to fight if you can't throw your punch.
Have you ever been in a situation where you thought you might have to use some leg kicks on someone?
Yeah, I mean, I've used, like, kicks.
In,
you,
like,
you
a...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I don't play.
Yeah.
In your adult life.
I'm a nice guy, though. You feel me? So, yeah. And then really, I'm very calm.
Yeah.
So for me, like, a lot of it is calm. And then also, it's crazy, like, a lot of the dudes are very flexible, like almost gymnastics flexibility. Mm-hmm. So sometimes, it's crazy. Like, you could see a dude knock a dude out, then he do a backflip. You know what I'm saying to you?
Yeah.
So I think also with the training, you know how they say, okay, you're a football player and they have you take ballet?
Yeah, so, when Swan took ballet.
Okay, so I do weird stuff, like, just say... We don't just talk. I don't want you guys to think this is Drake. I don't just watch that shit.
Okay. So it's kicking.
So he did like a headstand against the wall and pushed down and did push-ups.
That is,
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But once again, so now the flexibility, if somebody puts you upside down, for example, so I'm not freaking out.
Yeah, because you know.
I'm used to being upside down. So all of these adrenalines for me are like different things.
Yeah
that would have. I wouldn't care to be upside down at all. I'm not very flexible at all.
I'd probably pass out with my giant head just filling with blood.
Yeah, I don't like that at all. But it's
you
nice to be able to do
upside
it.
Upside down, the gushing and all of that.
Yeah.
So a lot of times when someone, has you in a lock, for example.
Yeah.
The breathing, a lot of it. You know what I mean? So when I'm fighting, usually, the key is to try to cut your breathing out kind of early, because the more I could take your oxygen out, the quicker the fight ends.
Are you a good breather? Like, it sounds like a stupid question, but being a good breather is I'm not.
So yeah.
Calisthenics, running.
So you got good wind.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, like,
well, the wind comes from the stage, brother.
Yeah.
Cool. I mean, you know what I'm saying to you? When I'm on stage, I was just a turn. Well, you guys got to come to my next term, my next show.
Yeah.
And I'm going to come to, I'll go to a fight with you. You come to my show. But my show, literally, I'm running back and forth for literally like 2 hours. You gotta be
you keep a lot of energy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, we don't fight. You know, we're not. We're comedians.
I know, but we go to the fight.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Absolutely.
Don't fight. I ain't trying to spar with you.
No, he looked at us and goes, no, you guys, I
not
know.
Yet.
Oh, yeah, you asked me if I took it. And I was like, no.
But do you think, like, as far as touring goes, the MMA becomes kind of crucial in order for you to keep that kind of wind up on tour when doing shows every night? Like, is it goes hand in hand?
Man, listen, it's hand in hand. I think health purposes, a lot of us would live longer. And then keep in mind, so for me, as someone who's a musician, the sport of it is to stay fit and stay healthy. But now imagine, like, dudes who's going in and they're basically getting hit up.
Yeah.
And this is how they're making a living. So it's two different mentalities. So I respect the sport in that sense even more. You know what I mean?
So when you hear stories about, like, someone like like there's been stories about like Axl Rose just being out of shape, or people that just can't get through a whole show, and you just, you can tell that they haven't prepped for the tour.
Well, I think like the good thing is like within our new generation now, like whether if it's 50 Cent, like you see different people in our business, like the exercising, that's like lifestyle.
Yeah.
You going to the gym every morning, that's like lifestyle. Because, you know, if you show up for a show, bro, and, you know, like 40 minutes in, you can't take your main shirt off. You know, it's like, what's going on? You know what I mean? You got to be lean and strong, because it's sort of like, okay, maybe they give two or three people a pass, but the average person, I remember like with the Fugees, literally, if Lauren and Proz is listening to this, the Fugees, probably biggest hip hop group, we ain't had no bodyguard around the Fugee time.
Yeah.
I literally was the Fugee bodyguard.
So if shit happened, it was up to you.
You were taking care of it.
That's Lauren and Proz. I was handling in 2 seconds.
Right.
And that's the time we used to watch the tapes on the bus a lot.
Yeah.
So I used to be like, man, I pray something happened.
So you were kind of rude. If something happened, you were like, all right, I'll handle it. You didn't mind.
Yeah, because it's peaceful fighting.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, because when you could take someone out quick without them knowing, it's a difference. Because the brawl is when it's really set up. But it, 9 times out of 10, you're going to be underestimated.
Yeah.
Because you're supposed to have a guitar in your hand and singing a song. So that's the last thing I expect.
Yeah, it's nice to take. What do they say in Devil's Advocate? They never see you coming. That's the best way it is when you catch somebody off guard.
Facts.
But they've done the boxer. They've also done the boxer against the UFC guy. I mean, Randy Couture, who was older, destroyed James Toney. It's not even a fair.
Yeah.
I think they did it just to silence people. They had to do it.
But
once.
I mean, you flip it and you put Couture in the ring with Tony, and that's
a whole different
thing, because Couture knew if he just took him down, and that he was like the best breather of all time. He was a guy that could just make someone winded by laying
on him
working him out. Yeah. And I think that was always impressive that he was still fresh in the fourth and fifth round sometimes against guys.
And so you got involved in music relatively young. Of all the people, like I've watched a few of your, I watched a great thing you did where you said goodbye to Obama and you thanked him for what he did to for hip hop. How did you first meet him? Because I think that's a pretty cool story.
I first met Obama. He was just a senator. And I was at a Black Caucus event. And I just remember Tall Dude coming up to me. And he was like, yo, Michelle, tell Wyclef, you know, what's in my iPad right now. Tell him what I'm jogging to. And she was like, the carnival. He'll never stop. His album, The Carnival. Said, that was cool. Like, and then, you know, next thing you know, he becomes the president. So I was like, oh, I definitely get bragging rights.
Did you see him after he became president?
Yeah, I was at the Nobel Peace Prize.
Oh, wow.
You like
me,
that?
Will Smith, Jada. We had a big show at the Nobel Peace Prize. So I was down at the Nobel. I actually performed. It was in Norway.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was a big show. It was in Norway. It was insane. I remember, so if you watch me online, I'm a pretty wild boy when I perform. So they had the section with the royal family, you feel me? And then there was like, you could do anything you want, but the section with the royal family, it's off limits. I was like, you don't tell a boy from Jersey.
Yeah.
So next thing you know, the show start. I went exactly to that section.
Yeah.
You can see it online. I got the whole royal family turned up.
They liked it though, right?
They loved it, but that was definitely a surreal moment being out there.
Yeah.
And I just remember like talking to Will. I'm like real cool with Will Smith. I think he's one of the coolest dudes. And it just looked like a surreal moment, like, well, wow, you know what I mean? Like, really, first Black president out here in Norway actually getting the Nobel Peace Prize. That was kind of insane.
Did you go back and talk to him afterwards? Were you able to? Did you have access or was Secret
Service? Oh, yeah. You know, I definitely, like, every celebrity, I got my Obama Wyclef pick, you know what I mean? It was incredible. It was a moment, you know? And okay, now watch this. I might get some hate mail for this, right? But I actually was on The Apprentice, too.
You were on The Apprentice when?
I was brought onto The Apprentice because as a producer of this modern age, so I'm inspired by Quincy Jones.
Yeah.
So I create stars. So that's a difference than just working for yourself. So whether if it's Lauren, Beyonce, Shakira, I give a lot of people their first hits.
You gave Shakira?
Yeah, I'm the one who wrote Hips Don't Lie.
What?
Now y'all gonna have to Google Wyclef, man.
I didn't know you wrote that.
Hey, girl, I can see your body moving. And it's driving me crazy.
Yeah.
And this is what's funny. I wrote that song 2 years prior. It was a movie called Havana Nights. So the original, so as a composer, I wrote it for Havana Nights. It was in a movie with another artist. Then 2 years later, I get a call from Sony and they're like, yo, we needed a song for Shakira. Because I'm the guy that they call when they want to move the charts. You know what I mean? At time. So I was like, yo, I got this record. it's been sitting there for 2 years, but she could do it. So they get me on the phone with Shakira, and Shakira was like, yo, why, Cliff, I had a dream about you last night. You know, I'm all excited, but it wasn't that dream,
yeah, of course.
Right?
Not the one you
but,
want. Yeah.
Yeah, but we got in the studio and we put that together. So they had an idea on The Apprentice to bring me in because math and music goes together. So it would be like now I would take these people out of their element and basically produce them.
And you're in that song.
I'm Hips Don't Lie?
Yeah. You are, okay.
Yeah, I'm in the song. I produced the song. So my true gift is as a publisher, as a writer. So think of like Sammy Davis. I'm a modern day Sammy Davis. You come to the show, I dance, sing, compose, write for other people. I do the whole 360 because it's a beautiful world, man.
Is that kind of like you were talking about the MMA and mixing everything up and keeping it all on your toes? Is that kind of...
It's exactly like that. So I'm a jazz major.
Mm-hmm.
I have mad award, you know what I mean? So... From Thelonious Monk, Miles, on down. Then I'm like a big hip hop fan. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then I grew up with 80s rock, like insane country music. I did the Johnny Cash tribute. Could you imagine? Like I show up, black dude, cowboy hat, and I'm singing Delia's Gone, trip people out.
Yeah.
So once again, when people don't see that kind of mix coming, and you're able to create fusion for anything.
Yeah.
Like, whether if it's fighting, whether if it's music, whether if it's sports, it just, you're in a different category.
Were you in the video for God's Gonna Cut You Down? There was a bunch of celebrities in the video.
Yeah,
I
wasn't there. I did the Johnny Cash tribute.
Yeah.
I was at the actual tribute, and I got a chance to do Delia's Gone, which was my favorite
Johnny Cash song.
Yeah, Delia's
Gone. It's nice to hear people talk about Johnny Cash. You know, like he's been dead for 10 years now. It's nice.
I'm like one of they call me in my hood. They call me the thug hippie, baby. I grew up with everything.
Yeah, but you look at like hey, hip hop, Run DMC. I mean, they obviously had a rock influence, bringing guitars
in. Yeah, Rick Rubin.
Yeah, I guess that was Rick
Rubin.
That's
right, Rick, definitely great.
He just got a great record out of Black Sabbath too. 13. Uh-huh. Okay. 2013, he got with the best comedy album out of Dice, The Day the Laughter Died.
Oh, yeah. Was that at Dangerfield?
That was at Dangerfield where Dice just bombed for 2 nights and they made a record out of it, like on purpose. And that was all Rick Rubin. I guess
when you say Black Sabbath, you just don't. A few weeks ago, was it? I was on the. I did Law and Order. So I was born in. And then so Ice-T was playing me some like new Body Count stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And it was sounding kind of cool. It was pretty intense. He's like, yo, Clef, listen to my new. And it was like, he's one of them dudes, though, that love, like, metal and mixing it, like, with like, hard, like, lyrics, you know?
Yeah.
Did he do something? I might be thinking of somebody else, but I'm not sure if he did something with Tony Iommi from Sabbath. See if Ice-T did. For some reason, I thought that Tony and him did something together. I could be wrong. But what are you promoting? I know you have... You have a new record, I guess, that's coming out.
Yo, but
or is
the good
out?
Thing about this, yo, now everyone's going to pay attention because they like, yo, you know, unlike you being an artist. Hello, my name's Wyclef, my new CEO. Nah, man. Like, they're like, yo, that kid could kick him ass. Let's talk to him.
Yeah, he's got strong leg kicks.
Yeah, he got strong leg kicks. But we basically have the Carnival 3. Everyone who loves the Carnival 1, I have like Gone to November, different records on that. We just did a show at Terminal 5. So we just put out an EP. Promoting which would be the album. The EP is online. It's called The Juve. So Juve by Wyclef Jean. Listen, man, I'm from the Caribbean. So if you can't get on that plane, just throw on Juve. We'll take you there. I got cool people on it like Young Thug. I got Walk the Moon. It's very Caribbean, reggae, because we're from the islands. You can hear that mix of reggae and hip hop. So we're out here. You get a chance. Just go on that. It's cold. We was at Terminal 5. We was like, yo, it's cold outside. But it's hot in here, and that's Juve. Like, we take you to the sun.
Yeah. So it's nice being who you are, too, because you can, if you want to perform with somebody, you can pretty much pick up the phone and perform with them. That's got to be a nice feeling. You want somebody on your record that's probably going to say yes?
Yeah, I mean, I've written for Whitney Houston, My Love's Your Love. I got a chance to spend great time with Michael Jackson. And it's cool, Michael. So I get a phone call, and the phone goes off. People going to love this one. And so I'm a prankster, dude. I've been pranksing before Ashton Kutcher. That's what I do. So phone goes like, hello, Wyclef. And I'm like, who this? Michael Jackson. Get the F out of here. I hang up the phone on Michael Jackson, bro. And Michael calls back. And when he starts to talk now, I start to freak out. Because you know how you think then you start to realize. He's like, yo, you know, I was in Asia. This record came out, Gone to November. I was like, who's this guy? I got to find him. Dude, man, I turned to a little girl, man. And Michael Jackson shows up, man, at Sony Studios, man, and I got to spend some time. But, okay, so This is what I'm telling you. Whether we're talking about Bruce Lee or Michael Jackson or the original Gracies, I'm telling you that mixture is where, that scientific mixture is where we could be talking about calculus or the invention of something going to NASA. The brain, the neuro, when it meets it, the mixture of just putting things together opposed to saying, I'm going to do one thing.
Yeah.
It's totally different. So he's sitting there and he's like, he's literally beatboxing, playing the entire orchestra with his hands, playing trumpet with his mouth, all because he's hearing all of these rhythms at once, you know? So that was an incredible experience.
Yeah, I mean, you don't meet many people who got to spend a good amount of time with him. I guess on that level of fame, you get guarded,
yeah.
You know, and you're careful about who you spend time with and who you talk to. And that's a phone call. It's so funny. He's probably used to being hung up on.
That's too. What I was just like, going to say. There's got to be multiple times where he's like, I got to call this guy back.
Yeah, I'm sure guys like that and certain level of fame, people are like, oh, fuck yourself, click. Like, oh, no, it's really him. So you were affected when he came in and actually sat with you.
Yeah. I'm saying, once again, that changed my life, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm from like humble beginnings, coming from Haiti, poverty, you know, landing in the Marlboro Hill Projects in Brooklyn, then landing up in Newark, you know, South Orange Avenue. It was no joke. And to be blessed enough to be in that position. But for me, a lot of times I think a lot of us guys that are in my business, but you see how you're like, yo, you did this, you did that, you did this. Because what happens is if we don't come out and give you the information, it's like, so now you're going to check me out because you're like, this kid is kind of cool. But I feel like a lot of us producers, because we're under the hip hop envelope, What happens is people think like, okay, hip hop is one thing. But like not knowing like the reason why the music is so will never go away is because of people like me. And there's multiple ones of us. And you like, what do you listen to before you go on stage? And I'm like, well, Miles Davis, you know what I'm saying to you? Like, what do you listen to? I'm listening to the Outfielders. Because he's on a vacation far. Because I know, because when I jump on the stage, I'm going to be doing the opposite of what I'm listening to. And it's just, it's a new era, you know what I mean? And so whatever that rock and roll was, like, we was listening to that stuff and we actually was playing it.
Yeah.
And then so I think this is why, whether if it's hip-hop, reggae, this whole thing now is like converted into just one thing for the kids. Like, they can't decipher what's hip-hop, what's reggae, whatever. Like, my daughter, she's 11. She's just like, you know, and she pulls it. She'd be like, yo, Guns N' Roses, Jay-Z, boom, boom, boom. She just pulls all the music.
Yeah, that's the beauty of just pulling it out of the cloud now. If you hear a song you like, you can just go to your phone.
Pull it out the cloud.
And pull it down, and you have, it's like, it's magic time. Like, when I was growing up, I couldn't comprehend carrying something that I could press a button and get any song I wanted.
Also, before phones, when you go to a record store, you had to go by genres. They were like, you know, you'd have to go through like the jazz section or the metal section to find different stuff, and now it's all just...
And the Fugees, I never did that. I thought that was like when somebody was like, you have to do one thing, you're going to be hip hop. I say, yeah, we are. Hip hop's the culture. But inside of this culture, don't tell me that I can't listen to Metallica. I play Metallica better than you. And that's why I like people like Ice-T, like bands that just break, you know, because when we as musicians get together, like, so how am I able to get Bob Dylan to show up for the Guns N' November video?
Yeah.
And he ain't even show up for his own son video, Jacob Dylan. People are like, you ain't gonna get Bob Dylan. But he shows up because musicians don't look at it like, oh, this guy's a rapper. Or this person's a country. Like, when we all get together, it's just like, you know Big and Rich?
Yeah.
Man, Big and Rich, man, I was in a country, crazy country guys, very cool. I was with them in the House of Blues. They came to a Wyclef show. So out of the crowd, dude gets up, country, hardcore, and we got a Dr. Dre beat going on. And he starts to sing over his beat, and people go mad. I'm like, yeah, because we just musicians. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, you're talking about that. One of my favorite artists right now is Sturgill Simpson, who's a country star. And there was a great interview with him, and they're asking him, like, who influences him, because he's kind of on that frontier of the new outlaw country.
Yeah.
And he said he listens to Kendrick Lamar and Chance the Rapper. And I'm like, that, because that's a guy that's just trying to pick up how they're doing a different thing.
Yes.
And kind of in the vein of what you're talking
about.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
We have, do we have Anderson calling shortly?
He should be calling in a few minutes, yeah.
Now, you're welcome to stay with us. They told us you only have 25 minutes.
Yeah, nah, I got it. I'm getting ready to break, get back to the studio.
Okay.
But, dude, y'all got to come to one of my shows.
Absolutely.
I'd like to see you live.
All right, so we got Wyclef.com. So
yeah.
Just check me out on Wyclef.com. And Oh, you know what? Y'all have Twitters? What's y'all Twitter?
Jim Norton on Twitter.
Yeah, okay. Dan Soder.
So can y'all just send me like two tweets and then sure. I'm going to follow y'all and then we can rock out.
Done. I would love
to. Yo,
this.
Respect right. to y'all, man.
Yeah.
Thank you. It was really fun.
Listen to Juve, man. It's going to be cool.
Really fun having you.
Definitely.
And we'll be right back with Anderson Silva.
This is UFC Unfiltered with Jim Norton and Matt Serra.
Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans proudly supports UFC Unfiltered. When it comes to the big decision of choosing a mortgage lender, it's important to work with someone you can trust who has your best interest in mind. And with Rocket Mortgage, you'll get a transparent online process that gives you the confidence to make an informed decision. Don't waste time searching through stacks of paperwork. With Rocket Mortgage, you can securely share your financial info to get mortgage approval in minutes. You can even adjust the rate and length of your loan in real time to make sure you get the mortgage solution that's right for you. Whether you're looking to buy a home or refinance your existing mortgage, you can lift the burden of getting a home loan with Rocket Mortgage. Skip the bank, skip the waiting, and go completely online at quickenloans.com/unfiltered. That's quickenloans.com/unfiltered. An equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. That was a lot of fun. We actually just stopped and took a tinkle because Wycliffe had a hard out or he would have stayed for an interview with Anderson Silva. He was really fun to talk to, though. I liked him a lot.
Yeah. I didn't know he was so into MMA.
No, but I wish I would have asked him about his underwear. Because let's be honest, you can't have a comfortable or successful life if your underpants are no good. This Valentine's Day, now I know it sounds like I'm doing a live read, but I'm doing this from memory. Give a gift they can unwrap again and again. Matching underwear from MeUndies. Valentine's Day is near and it's go time for thoughtful gift hunting. MeUndies has you covered with limited edition matching pairs of undies for you and yours. I have a Valentine's Day one. It's pink with kisses all over it. I had to take it off in the gym because I was in my underpants changing.
Yeah.
And I walked around proudly. That's right. I have pink underpants with lips on them.
Ooh.
And I shouted it. And then they all kissed me on my buttocks. Was Valentine's Day got you stumped? I never knew what to get a girl. I even said to a girl, like, I'd love to get you chocolates, but I don't want you to be a big fat pig. I don't believe I just said that. Forget the cliches. Give a gift that looks great, feels great, and it's going to make everybody happy. MeUndies. Fancy dinners and chocolates, where they last a night, and then until they're on her hips, then they'll last for 6 months. Or they're on his hips. You might be a gal listening, where my husband turns into a big fatso. Flowers suck. They die. Who needs to grieve? This year, give a gift of looking great, feeling great, because they really are 3 times softer than cotton thanks to Modal, which is the material they use. Your hog looks great.
Mm.
My package is award-winning. It's complete bait and switch. They're always, I always hear, ah! As soon as the underpants come off, they're disgusted.
But in the underwear, you're like, phenomenal. Look at it.
Dude, it's gorgeous. You're a straight man, and you would want to cup it out of respect.
I just want a handful of it.
Just a handful. Valentine's Day is February 14th. Don't panic, you geese. Get your heart on and show some love with MeUndies matching undies. They really are the perfect gift. They offer free shipping, and for a limited time, listeners to our show get 20% off their first order. But first, you got to go to MeUndies.com/UFC. MeUndies, better day guarantee. You have nothing to lose. Don't wait any longer. MeUndies.com/UFC right now, 20% off your first order. And look, if you're an ass and you don't like MeUndies, and I say that because you're an ass if you don't like MeUndies, they're going to give you your money back and you get to keep the first pair. So basically, you lose nothing. Try the MeUndies. They're very soft. You're going to like the way your hiney feels in them. MeUndies.com/UFC.
You're listening to UFC Unfiltered with Jim Norton and Matt Serra.
All right, Anderson, how are you, buddy? Waiting for Anderson. What happened? You had the wrong number? Anderson's like a chick. He gave you the wrong number and you took it?
He said, call me. Call me on Monday, you loser. Yeah.
Call me at this number. And it's the wrong number and you believed it. I got Anderson's number. There's only 6 digits and no area code. Yeah, but he must have a magic phone.
That's a gas station in Rio.
Yo, Anderson.
You trickster.
Does your family want you to fight or are they kind of on you to retire? That's my...
That's a good prep question. Are we doing a run-through?
Yeah. Oh, I thought we had Anderson on the phone. Sorry.
No.
Okay. No, he gave it the wrong number. Coffee. How much fun was Wycliffe? I really enjoyed him. He invited us to a show, by the way, and I hope he knows that I'm going to look for comp tickets.
Oh, yeah.
You got 40? You ever offer somebody tickets? You got 40?
No, I had a friend text me. I was going to San Francisco. He's like, hey, I want to go to your late show. Can you get me 18 tickets? And you're like,
no.
It's the punchline. It's not the fucking Cow Palace.
Yeah, I can't.
first off, yes, I can. They aren't sold.
Yeah, exactly. Up front if you want them. Plenty available.
Yeah. That's all you need. I can, but I would rather some of you pay.
Yeah, it's humiliating.
You're just a big comp.
Do you know, and it's funny, the San Francisco Punchline, I had 7 Hell's Angels come to my show with their girlfriends. 14 of them came in the middle of my bit, my Caitlyn Jenner bit, where I go on and talk about my love of the sexual experiences, and 7 Hell's Angels walk in the middle of it.
Full patch?
Rocket. Oh, yeah.
Oh, fuck.
They were great, though. I was like, they're going to love or hate me.
Yeah.
But I think the guy who was running the chapter might have been a fan, because they were quiet and fun. I was like grateful, because if they heckled, I wouldn't have done a fucking thing about it.
Yeah, you don't want
come on, guys, you're talking loud, yeah? Well, I hope I'm not interrupting.
Yeah.
That's one where you just take it and you fucking just take your bombing like a man.
Or it's going to be Altamont at the Punchline.
Yeah, I don't need that. I don't want to get beaten up. Yeah. No one in the audience would help me.
Comedian Jim Norton dead after attacked by 7 Hell's Angels.
7 Hell's Angels beating. There's not one audience member who's going to jump in and go, hey, guys, leave him alone.
There's not one employee of the club that's going to jump in.
No, you're right.
7 Hell's Angels.
Security might go over and help scrape me up off the floor. Yeah. But they were great. So that's such a fun club, the Punchline. But they came in a little late. I didn't complain.
Yeah.
Welcome, guys.
Yeah, there's sometimes people that walk into the middle of a show where you're like, you take one look at them and you could be talking while you look at them and you're like, I'm not going to say shit.
Sometimes you just got to stop and reset.
Yeah.
I did stop and reset. Like, you know, for a second, you kind of have to. Oh, here it is. Anderson, does your family want you to fight or are they kind of on you to retire?
Well,
wait, no, that's not him. Oh. Chris always panicked. I love Chris's panicked look into the phone.
Yeah.
We thought we had Anderson Silva today, and apparently we don't. Maybe we have Morton Anderson, the old kicker, to talk about the Super Bowl.
Didn't he just get into the Hall of Fame?
I wouldn't know.
Morton Anderson, I think you just said that.
I was busy.
Oh, but I think you say that joking around, but yesterday they honored him. I think Morton Anderson's going into the Hall of Fame.
I did not know that.
Yeah, this year.
Do you think that a win over Derek Brunson kind of puts you back in the middleweight title picture?
But
no, you're not supposed to answer. You're not Anderson Silva.
But the way you're asking these questions is so professional.
I thought it was him.
You invoke a response out of me.
It is misleading kind of what you're doing.
Yeah, I know. I understand.
Do you think Anderson Silva, after we're done recording, Anderson Silva's going to be like, no, I meant 3 o'clock Brazil time.
You never know. That does happen once in a while. Cowboy blew us off last time, so I was not a Cowboy fan after he blew us off. However, I do like him because I've met him enough times and he's always a fun guy.
Yeah.
He's a funny, shit-talking guy. So I do like Cowboy.
I'm a fan of anyone that's from Colorado or trains in Colorado.
This Saturday, Holm versus Jermaine Durandamé. This is the main event fight, the brand new featherweight division in the women's 145. I probably said that incorrectly, but you understand 145-pound featherweight division, brand new.
Right.
What's the word, the first one?
Inaugural.
I hate inaugural. I always get it wrong.
Inaugural.
And Anderson Silva versus Derek Brunson is the co-main, number 7 versus number 8 in the middleweight division. I'm really looking forward to that. Because the last time we saw Anderson fight, he weighed, I'm going to guess 205 to fight Cormier. He replaced him on the job.
But how many days was that? How many days?
2 weeks. Three days.
That's insane.
I think it was less, because we did the show on that Wednesday, and we found out
Friday.
On Friday.
Yeah. But they might have been in talks with him already.
Yeah.
But yeah, you are correct.
But to take on an Olympic wrestler on 4 days' notice in a light heavyweight division where usually, you know, Anderson's a middleweight.
Well, he beat Forrest Griffin light heavyweight too, I think.
Yeah,
right?
But that's at the peak. That's when Anderson was just kicking everyone's ass.
Yeah.
That was even when, I think, getting caught by Chris Weidman. I always fuck it up.
No, it's Joe Weider. Chris Weidman, Weider.
But when Weidman caught him when he was, you know, hot dogging, I think that changed shit for Anderson. Because he used to do that so effectively.
Yep.
And with Forrest Griffin couldn't land a shot. And I think that it's like, you know, it's all mental.
No, that's like the fame. There's a GIF online or whatever that video where it's just he's like in the Matrix, essentially. He's ducking everything and then he just breaks Forrest's jaw with the left.
That is one of the most shocking moments I've ever had in my life. Like, you know, obviously yesterday's Super Bowl was a tremendous shock. So many things, you know, the field goal being missed by Norwood and Buffalo.
Yeah.
That knockout.
Weidman catching him?
Catching him because he had not Chris Weidman winning. But because his hands were down and he was doing that like Anderson shimmy, which drives guys. Here's how you know a guy is psyched out. He was not psyched out because Weidman was like, oh, pow.
Yeah.
Eddie Alvarez was psyched out. And I love Eddie Alvarez.
Yeah.
But when Connor dropped his hands, Eddie just stood there bobbing like he was still. And it's like his hands are down.
Yeah. Throw.
But the guys are so afraid of being embarrassed and missing. And it taps into that little kid thing in you that when a guy puts his hand down, come on, pussy. If you don't knock him out, It's humiliating.
But it's also you locking up to the fact where you could lock up and fuck up something you'd normally not yeah. fuck up. I had this friend of mine in college that could get in my head just by laughing. He had this cackle, and he could just like challenge me and cackle. And one time he's like, I bet you couldn't even walk along the edge of the sidewalk, just an easy edge of the sidewalk. Yep. No problem at all. He's like, you're so unathletic, you couldn't do that. He knew I wasn't like that sure. unathletic, but he said that and he started cackling. And I locked up.
How'd
and I fell midway. I fell like an asshole. I fell on the ground. Like I tried to save it and then tumbled over.
Like a fainting goat.
Yeah. My legs just went straight and I went to my side. But then that cackle, I mean, enraged me. It got to me. It just, and Roy Jones Jr. used to do that. He used to push his hands behind his back and like make people swing and miss. But I'm telling you, once you get caught like that, I think that ends that.
Well, Connor said he did that because he had injury. So in training, he was dropping his hand behind so he didn't keep throwing it and hurting it.
Yeah.
And he just knew that Eddie was in that place. And Eddie, again, Connor's fast, but if Eddie would have, imagine if Eddie would have knocked him out at that moment or connected and just hurt him.
Yeah.
Anderson happened to get caught. And do we have Anderson on the phone?
Yes, we do.
Hello, Anderson?
Yes.
Hi, Anderson. You're talking to Jim Norton and Dan Soder here on UFC Unfiltered. How are you, sir?
Hello, my friend. How are you?
I'm very good, buddy. How are you?
I'm good. Very good.
Now, are you still in Brazil or have you come up to New York?
Oh, I stay in New York now.
Let me ask you, Anderson, what is it that has been motivating you to fight at age 41?
Fight is my life, you know. I love my job and it's a good challenge for myself, you know.
And you were willing to take the Cormier fight on, what was it, 3 days' notice when you came up to fight Daniel Cormier?
Yeah, this is good. This is my personal challenge, you know. I'm a fighter. I'm fight all my life, you know. This is I'm so happy because when I go to fight, I prove for myself how much I training and absorb the energy for martial arts, you know.
Does your family want you to fight, or do they ask you to retire?
Now I talk to my family. Everything's okay. But sometimes my kids and my wife talk to me, so you need to stop, and it stop. But now everything is okay.
When you hurt your leg you broke your leg in the second Chris Weidman fight, at that point, did you think you would ever fight again, or did you think that your career was over?
No. When I broke my leg, I say, okay, I go back. I take my time and back to fight because fight is my life.
So you knew you were going to fight again. Now, you're fighting Derek Brunson, who is a very aggressive. He moves forward. Do you think that works to the strength of your style of fighting?
I think this fight is good for me, for my fans, and I think it's good. It's a great fight.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great fight, too. I mean, I think people are happy to see you fighting again at middleweight. What do you think of Bisping against Yoel Romero, which is probably going to be the next title fight for Bisping?
I think the next fight for Bisping is me and Bisping. This is makes sense.
Now, for the title, you mean?
Yeah, of course.
But if they were to give Bisping the title fight against Yoel Romero, if they said it had to be Yoel fighting for the title, who do you think matches up better in that fight, Yoel or Bisping?
I think Yoel Romero wins.
And would you still want to fight Bisping if Yoel had the title, or would you rather fight Romero for the title?
My focus is my fight now, but Bisping is my focus because Bisping no win the last fight, you know?
Against you?
Yes.
Okay. Now, if Bisping loses the belt, where do you see yourself in the middleweight division? Like, let's just say that you win this fight and Bisping loses. Do you think you are next in line, or do you think someone like Jacare is next in line for that fight?
I don't know. I'm just waiting, but for more makes sense for UFC, for the show, for money in my pack, and the money in the pack to Dana White, me, and Bisping. This is makes sense.
Now, since you lost the title, you held the title for what, 7 years? Since you lost the title, the belt has changed hands a couple of times. Do you think that it's because you were so dominant or the division has gotten stronger?
Não, porque eu fui muito bom no que eu fazia mesmo.
It's because I was very good at what I was doing.
Okay, so Anderson is saying it was because you were very dominant. Now, you have said that you would be willing to be bumped ahead of Jacare to fight for the title, but you would not fight him. Why would you not fight Jacare?
Porque nós somos amigos, né? Eu acho que se houver a oportunidade de lutar pelo cinturão, eu vou lutar. Mas não tenho a pretensão de lutar com o Jacaré porque a gente é amigo.
Because we're friends. If I have the opportunity to fight for the belt, I'm going to fight. But I have no intention of fighting Jacaré. He's my friend.
Okay, so it would be very hard to fight your friend. Now, you've talked about Conor being a challenge for your MMA techniques, as well as a very entertaining matchup. What unique challenges do you think that a fight with him would present to you?
O maior desafio, né, de lutar com ele, assim, seria testar minhas habilidades em pé. O Conor é grande atleta, está vivendo grande momento, mas eu gostaria de simplesmente me testar a minha habilidade em pé com ele.
I think that what's interesting, the biggest challenge with fighting Conor would be testing my striking technique. I think he's a great fighter. I think he's living a great moment right now, but I think it'd be a great challenge to test myself on my feet with Conor.
Okay. And how do you feel also, a lot of people have been talking about Damian Maia and how he might deserve a title shot. How do you feel about his growth as a fighter since you beat him?
Por muito. Eu acho que o Damian merece realmente lutar pelo título. Ele tem provado que merece essa oportunidade. Agora cabe ao Dana, né, colocar ele para lutar.
I think he's grown a lot. I think he definitely deserves to fight for the title. He's done enough to fight for the title, so I think it's in Dana's hands to put him up there.
Okay, and just as we close, what do you expect for Derek Brunson this Saturday in Brooklyn?
Uma luta dura. I think it's a good fight.
You're expecting a good fight from him?
Yeah, of course.
All right. Well, good luck, Anderson. You're one of my favorite fighters.
Thank you. Thank you, my friend.
Enjoy watching you. And thank you so much for calling in. The great Anderson Silva. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. God bless.
All right, brother. Be good. He's the... This is the co-main event. A little hard to hear, so we had to...
Yeah, I wasn't going to jump in there with an interpreter and the noise in the back. I was going to be like, Anderson, real quick, your glasses prescription, is it real just for the look?
That was a great question. I would have asked him that. I didn't think of it. It was just hard to hear because there was people talking in the back. Oh, so I don't know where he is.
Yeah.
He's fighting Derek Brunson. I'm looking forward to that fight as much, if not more, than Holly against Duraname. That fight I really want to see.
It's going to be very interesting to see where Anderson Silva is middleweight-wise.
Yeah.
Because, you know, watching him in the Cormier fight, you kind of saw him get gassed a little bit, which isn't usually his style, which he go to the ground. He can usually roll for the whole fight and not really tire out. And against Cormier, you were like, man, this looks like a guy that took a fight on 4 days' notice.
But that's also a heavy...
Fuck yeah.
Strong dude, man. Cormier is a beast.
But it's interesting when you hear his voice because Anderson Silva carries himself like a philosophy professor.
He does.
And then just fucking mauls people.
Yeah, he's
and it's
really...
like, he really is like that warrior poet, kind of like, let me take my glasses off real quick and I'll just beat the shit out of you.
Everyone respects him, though. Like, although Chael was the only guy that really motherfucked him, you know.
But Chael, the way that Chael did that, you saw, you know, we were talking about like Conor ducking and like not letting a puncher, Anderson doing that to Forrest Griffin. Maybe that was, you know, Chael knew that if he did that, he would fucking get him pissed.
Yes.
And I mean, that's basically what Conor did to Jose Aldo, was he just kept going in until Aldo was so mad and just wanted to fuck him up so bad that he came out and swung and Conor just moved and hit that left. And you're like, that was it. That was mostly mental work.
Like me when I was a kid playing stickball and swinging. And every time the ball got pitched, Marvin would yell, "Strikeout King!"
Oh.
And I swung and missed. He was right. I was the strikeout king.
But people can do that. I mean, that's all mental. Yeah.
All mental.
I had a friend that used to yell out "miss" when we were playing football. And I'd go to catch it and he'd go, "miss!" And then it'd just right off my hands.
I've yelled at it then.
miss, I need you.
Now, it looks like Ryan Bader is leaving the UFC. And Dana seems to be wishing him well, saying Bellator is probably the right place for him at this point. And it seems like, you know, he's I don't know if that's sarcastic or not, but he said at this point in his career, I think it's the right move for him. So maybe they're, you know, good luck to Ryan Bader.
I love Darth Bader.
You do like him.
Yeah, he's a fun guy to watch. I mean, when he knocks guys out, he really knocks them out. He's a Denver fighter as well.
What do you think,
Bader guy?
I'm sorry, buddy. What do you think about a move now? Demetrius Johnson. They asked him if he'd be willing to move up to bantamweight at 135 for Cody Garbrandt in a super fight.
I think that has to happen. Mighty Mouse is just dominant. I know he wants to break.
There's no one else he can fight.
And he wants. I know he wants to break Anderson Silva's record of 10 title defenses. Yeah. He's at 9 now, yeah. I think. So the next one will be. So I want to see Mighty Mouse. Here's the thing: when a guy cleans out a division, you kind of want to watch him go up. I mean, if they can go up. There hasn't been a heavyweight to clean it out.
No. Well, and it's also a guy that gets overlooked. Like, as great as he is, as dominant as he is, I think people forget about him because he just beats the shit out of everyone.
And it's also because we've interviewed him. He's a nice man, but he doesn't say much. Like, he's a very quiet guy.
Yeah.
And the very quiet guys don't get pressed because they don't say anything inflammatory.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to go in there and fight my best. Like, okay, that's great, but that's not going to get quoted, so that's another reason he gets overlooked.
Well, and back to the cleaning out a division thing, it kind of gets like, Anderson Silva got to that point where you were kind of like, I mean, when he lost, you were like, oh, now he's got another life in the middleweight division, yeah. But I wanted him to go up to light heavyweight, and before John Jones's problems, it was kind of like, if he would have beaten Cormier again, then it's kind of like, go up to heavyweight. Let's see what John Jones can do in heavyweight.
You don't, yeah, you do, but you also, like, when they cut and you see them fighting it that way, I don't want to see Anderson Silva fighting light heavyweights. I mean, maybe at one point, but middleweight to me is great. Or John Jones even fighting. You want to see John Jones fight Francis Ngannou? Like, I would like to see that fight.
Yeah, man.
I would like to see it, but for John Jones.
Yeah.
That Ngannou's a guy who, like, literally, I keep talking about Ngannou. I know people are getting sick of it. I don't blame you. I'm a fucking one-trick hack pony, but I like this guy. But, you know, there are guys. But then again, I thought that about Mark Hunt, too, and Brock smothered him. So I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about half the time. But some of these guys, like, you literally can't take more than one of their punches. And I would be interested to see a guy like Jones fight him. But I don't like that fight for John Jones at all. Then again, I didn't like the Cormier fight for John Jones, and he won it.
Yeah, he just kept taking him down and doing the thing that...
He kept taking him down.
And everyone is the thing that everyone was like, well, he won't be able to take him down like he did most of his recent fights. And then he did. And he's like, this guy's a fucking Olympic wrestler.
Everyone who fights Jones goes, this son of a bitch is way better than I thought he was. They all have to give it up.
Yeah.
Chael had to say it.
Chael, he was. I went to that fight. It's the only UFC fight I've been to. And it was just impressive to watch how quick. He broke his toe and still won the fight.
Chael could have. If Chael had wasted a few more seconds and Chael was the champion.
Oh.
Because he never would have been. John would not have been able to come back out and fight. They would have fought a rematch and I think John would have won it. But that would have broken John's record. That literally, how long before Chael tapped? Was it like in the final 30 seconds?
Yeah. It was round one.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. It was like last 30 seconds.
It was right before it happened, and then he came out and took a picture, and you're like, okay, whoa.
Where's my notes? This is what I wanted to talk about. Yeah. Hold on. God, me and my notes. Oh, for Pete's sake. I want to talk about, was it?
You're like an unprepared prosecutor.
It was not it was not Skelly.
Did you murder? I don't know if you did. Oh, God.
It was Nico Price beating Morono. Did I say his name, Alex Morono?
Yeah.
I have never, because I think Morono was winning that fight. I thought he looked really good. I thought he was winning that fight. And Price, who was undefeated, knocked, it was, I've never seen anybody hit so on the buzzer at the 5 minute mark of the second round. It was literally the end of the round and he knocked him out. I've never seen it that on. It was like the way they make a movie.
Yeah, where it's like the 5 second, you just hear the click of the 10 second mark and then.
And a couple more seconds, pow! Yeah. Like that fast.
That's gotta be, if you're the guy getting knocked out, you gotta be like, man, why didn't I just put my hand up?
Yeah.
One more time and just go to the bell.
Yeah, it was such a good fight. But I really thought that, Price was going to lose that. And I wrote some notes down. Look at this.
Hey.
I wrote, Price took this fight on short notice and had success early on with some very hairy kicks that were landing. Price did throw a kick in Morono counter with a left hook and dropped him.
In my mind, when you're writing your notes, you're just in your desk chair and then you write that and then you look out the window like a satisfied writer.
My hands behind my... I said in the second round, Price is cornering. Get me yelling for him to be lighter on his feet. Ooh, they're going to love that on Unfiltered.
Call me George Plimpton because I'm a writer.
Yeah, but Morono was very mobile and Price seemed content to just counter. Think about that. Drink that in, scumbags. There's no reason for me to say that. Give me a live read. But no, my memory is so bad. I write down very specific notes on the phone. No, I never get to them.
I mean, I have a terrible memory, and it's like if I was trying to do a Super Bowl recap, there'd be a ton of stuff I forgot.
I could say this. I could say 21-3, 28-3, 28-12, and then it just, the hinges came off.
Okay. Totally.
Should have been 28-13, but they fucking missed that goddamn field goal. I'm not talking like this. Hey, Patriots won that game. They earned that win. I mean, they got 2 2-point conversions. When the chips were down, they pulled it through all these sports cliches.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How great was it to watch that piece of shit Roger Goodell get booed?
Oh, nonstop. And by the way, he did it the way that ex-boyfriend shows up at a cookout for the family where they're like, we hate you. And he's like, I just come in here to drop off my keys. I don't want any fucking problems. I know you all hate me. I was bad to her. I had a problem. Yeah. Boo. Fuck you.
Hey. And Brady was a classy guy.
No, he left.
There's a funny picture, actually. While Goodell is talking, you could see Belichick and Brady in the background just, like, hysterically laughing. They might not have been laughing at that, but they were probably interested.
I hope they were.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I met Tom Brady once. Didn't love him, if you want the truth. He lives down the street from me in the Big Apple. And despite me staying in the lobby yelling, where's Giselle? I've never gotten to hang out with him. But I was talking to him, and he was a little snotty, because I said to him, I'm like, dude, are you, like, it was in the office. I'm like, you in between jobs? Looking to earn a little extra money. I said, you want to earn an extra $500 bonus?
Yeah.
I got a gig for you. And he's like, dude, I'm one of the greatest quarterbacks, if not the greatest quarterback in history. And I'm like, shut up, Tom. Mm-hmm. I said, Lyft, L-Y-F-T. It's the ride-sharing app that lets you be your own boss. And then he put his hand in his chin. He said, oh, do tell.
And I said, I'm intrigued.
I said, Tom, you can make up your own hours, earn up to $1,500 a week driving your own car. He said, oh, for Pete's sake, Jim, don't stop talking. I said, look, there's other ride-sharing apps. And he went, boo! I'm like, Tom, no need to be that way. I said, although technically you're right because Lyft. And he goes, how do you spell that? I said, L-Y-F-T. They do treat their drivers right. It's a flexible way. Make some extra money anytime, nearly anywhere. What you gotta have is a car and a head. I've said that to you. You need a head. Lyft drivers can make up to $35 an hour, and getting started really is just
You had it.
I dropped the paper. I'm not even gonna pick it up. I'm gonna do this from memory. That's not the paper you hear. It really is just a tap away. You can drive morning. Let me just improv. Weekends, nights. You flip into driver mode. Start making money. What else? Plus, I guess Lyft drivers can earn tips right through the app, and they really do add up. And you don't have to wait days or weeks to get paid. That's one of the best things about Lyft. You can cash out instantly once you've made $50 thanks to Express Pay. Look, it all adds up. Driving with Lyft is super flexible, allows you to keep 100% of your tips. That's why a restaurant job's not, because you got to share them.
Yeah, you got to tip out, as they say.
Hey, I'm a very sexy waitress. I've been showing my bosoms. People are tipping me. You've done nothing. Why should I share with you?
Yes, you're just the bartender that makes me my drinks that the people order.
Sign up today at Lyft.com/Unfiltered, Lyft.com/unfiltered. Now, right now, Lyft has a very special offer for our listeners. You get $500 new driver bonus after you complete 100 rides within 30 days. Very, very doable. Unless you're a totally lazy idiot, you can absolutely do 100 rides in 30 days. Because I take literally, if I'm doing a ride share app or whatever you call it, I'm literally taking sometimes 2 or 3 a day.
Yeah.
So if I'm taking 2 or 3 a day, you as the driver can easily do 130. I mean, don't get me started. Lyft.com. It's Lyft/unfiltered today. Start making extra money. If you're an actor or an actress or a comedian or anything in the performing arts, you can like schedule it around your auditions. You flip it on, you drive, you go to your audition, you fail miserably, you go back to making the real money.
Done.
$500 new driver bonus. Limited time only. Of course, restrictions do apply. Lyft.com/unfiltered. Don't be a goose.
You're listening to UFC Unfiltered with Jim Norton and Matt Serra.
Have you ever sent flowers online before? It's honestly, it's not a satisfying experience. You lure it in with a $19.99 advertised price, and when you check out, it's $74. What happened? And when the flowers arrive, they're not at all like the picture. They're almost dead. If flowers could be manically depressed, your flowers are depressed. They're sad. They've been banged around. Those other flower companies, they're just middlemen jacking up the price you pay. Boux.com. B-O-U.
Boux, like a bouquet.
Oh, bouquet. You know what? Leave that in there. Leave the humiliating spelling error. And then how my producer not only corrected me, but will soon be fired for not telling me before it was Boux.
Yeah, I love that you went in there Boux. With so much confidence that it was Boux.
I did. I had Boux energy. It was Boux.
Yeah.
And you know what? With humility, I'll say Boux. B-O-U-Q-S.com. Just think Jim screwed it up. Books.com offers a better way. Farm fresh flowers that are not cut until you order them, which is really great. They can last up to 2 weeks. These are the best quality flowers you can get. Additionally, we provide full transportation prices, no endless upsells, and free delivery on weekdays when you register at Books.com, B-O-U-Q-S.com. Be a hero this Valentine's Day and save 20% when you order early. Don't think you're going to order the morning of February 14th and have Books.com cut them and ship them. It's not going to happen. Our flowers sell out for Valentine's Day, so do not delay because they're fresh. And you want fresh flowers. You're a lousy spouse.
Yeah.
You listen to this podcast. You're not a good husband. You're not. You talk about fighting all the time. Your wife's like, shut up. I'm worried about the kids.
Yeah.
And you're like, Anderson fighting Brunson. She's like, shut up. The kids are going to the bathroom all over the place. Finally, be a good spouse. Get her something she likes. Flowers. Books.com. That's B-O-U-Q-S.com. Promo code UFC gets you 20% off. That's pretty nice. Simple ordering, it's a transparent pricing, there's no stupid hidden fees, no upsells, no additional care and handling. Do you want care for your flowers?
I touched it specially for you.
No, I don't need care.
You just want them to get tossed around.
I just don't want them dead before they get there. They're going to be in my house. They don't live forever. I understand they're not computers. They're going to be alive for a few weeks. I'll screw up again. The flowers will die. I'll reorder some more. That's how it works. No bait and switch product. Farm Fresh Books. What you see is what you get. B-O-U-Q-S.com. It's a great product for Valentine's Day. You suck as a boyfriend. Yes. You suck as a husband.
Yes.
So do it. Make up for it. Buy her something nice. Everyone, every spouse likes fresh flowers. I'm saying her because I'm a chauvinist.
Even roommates. Just get one for your roommate.
It's nice. You producer, whatever.
You know what, Dan? That is what a phenomenal idea that is. Do it to be a silly goose. You're a guy. You're a lousy...
If you take a real stinky dump and you know your roommate's got to deal with it, this the next day, have some flowers.
Have some books.
Have some books.
Or just order it for a guy for no reason.
Just no reason.
Don't be sexual about it. Just order books.com.
Find out, even do research. Google what color of rose means friendship.
Yeah, and then do the one that means love.
Yeah, red.
Red for love. And say, hey, you're a great roommate. These are for you. Like a real alpha guy.
Yeah, nothing like
do it.
Nothing like waking up with my best bud in the same house.
Yeah, happy you're here.
Yeah.
Enjoy these. I smell flowers. They make me think of you.
I love watching you sleep.
Enjoy these, buddy.
Yeah,
I think of these every time I watch you sleep.
Pal.
Yeah. Enjoy, Papa Pal in quotes. He won't know what to make of it.
Do you think Matt would like flowers if you sent him?
Love flowers.
Yeah.
Jimmy, you didn't tell me you were going to send flowers. I didn't get you anything. Jimmy, it's a little weird. Matt would appreciate the gesture, but he'd be a little annoyed that I fucking he wouldn't understand what I meant by
I really hope you do this now. I hope this inspires you.
I'm going to order some books.com
for
Matt.
For the next podcast.
My friend Matt.
When he shows up.
I might not be here Wednesday. I know.
No, this when you are here. Up. I like your guidance counselor energy the
Thank
entire
you very
time.
Much. It was
it
good
felt,
to
it was motivated.
Thank you very much.
I felt like an inner city student that was really finally seeing the light.
I wish Anderson could have come in studio. He's in the city.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's doing, honestly. Yeah. It would have been great to have him.
It sounded like he was running errands in a van.
Yeah, it's they're all talking.
Oh, he's doing a lot of media this week, though.
Oh, okay. No, that's what I'm saying.
I know.
But it was media.
It was great.
You had no respect.
Once I heard the interpreter, I was like, I think I'm good on this side of just listening to Jim interview.
I don't mind it. I would hate that on the radio show, but I don't mind it on the. He kicked me in studio once. I asked him to kick me, but not. He didn't do it that hard. But you see that he kicks pretty. He's got some pretty good kicks. Oh, not
okay,
bad.
Okay.
With that Roundtree, we talked about that in the beginning. That Khalil Roundtree, fucking knee to the face. As soon as his hands came up off that floor, he timed it beautifully. And he literally knocked him out on his feet.
Yeah.
And then he drove in an extra knee as he was falling, but it hit him in the chest because they thought it might have been...
So if he did land that on the head, is that a no decision?
Nah, that would have been a disqualification because I think his hands were down. Right? If his hand was down and he kneed him in the face, that's
like
bad.
He catches him when he goes for the shoot. He's out and then he does it again.
What do you think?
You know, with the new rules, though, that's the thing. Like, they were saying that it would have been a disqualification, but to me, his feet weren't... Like, he would have had to have both hands down, I think.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty close. It would have been an interesting call.
Yeah.
You know.
And we did not talk about the OSP. Was that a split decision? Yeah, it was.
Yeah, that could have gone OSP's way because they were landing...
I didn't think
landed
he won
some
that fight.
Big punches in the third, though.
He did, but I thought... And let me see if I can get the name right. Ozdemir?
Yeah.
Ooh, big boy with a memory. I thought Ozdemir won. I thought it was close. And I felt bad. I wouldn't have, you know, killed myself if St. Preux won, but I thought Ozdemir won that fight.
Yeah, yeah.
It was kind of a slow-moving fight, and the fans, they people were booing, and even Brian Stann or John Annick said, but they've been spoiled tonight, because that fucking Jessica Andrade's fight, am I saying her name right?
Yep.
I'm gonna keep asking you.
You got it.
That fight against Hill was a tremendous, tremendous fight, and I am looking forward to her and Ioane and Jacek fighting badly. I still think they'll be the co-main somewhere. Unless do they fight in Poland?
They need to. I think they're trying to get her to do that. Could they? They could do a double title. I mean, they could do a big, you know, both of those girls fight.
Yeah, a lot of times they'll match up two fights. Like, this is a big fight. Holly is the main event. Anderson and Dark Brunson on the co-main. But who's the other? Wonder Boy and Tyron Woodley. You can't be as happy about that if you're Tyron, because you fought this fucking savage Wonder Boy and you kept your title.
Yeah.
You can't want to do it again immediately. You have to deal with that shit again.
No. No, because you're trying to avoid... Again, he did a good job of mitigating everything that Wonder Boy was doing, but he could catch you with a kick or whatever.
Yeah. Yes, he can.
He's got all his crazy ass kicks too. Yeah,
but Tyron is fucking. It was deadly in that fourth round. I mean, he was.
Yeah.
The amount of pressure he was putting on in that guillotine, and he just couldn't get it.
Yeah.
You can't. When he came out, it was like a phoenix riding from the ash. The way people cheered
his
him.
His back was bent.
Just preventing
his spine.
Yeah.
Wonder Boy's spine. You were like, he's gonna snap his neck.
Yeah.
It was legitimately the first time I've seen a guillotine choke where I was like, he could break his neck
right
now. I've
never. Ever been so convinced? And Rogan was even saying, "I watched on the replay. He's gonna tap." Everyone thought, "Who do you think they're gonna replace Mike Goldberg with?" Because is Joe doing this Brooklyn fight?
Yeah,
I'm talking very quickly. I'm on my 300th coffee today. I apologize.
It's a pay per view, so Joe will be there. Yeah,
yeah. I wonder who's gonna replace. They asked me to do it, and I said no.
Is Goldberg gone?
Yeah,
for good.
Yeah, he left.
Where's he gonna go?
I don't know.
Nobody knows yet.
WWE.
He'll get another job. I mean, obviously, he'll get another announcing job. But so they Dana asked me if I wanted to do it. And I said no.
How come?
Thanks for playing along. I appreciate it.
You want to know what the best part was?
What?
There was a second where I was like, "Hey, it could happen." He does
no
the podcast.
No one listening believes it.
Well, I'll tell you,
Jimmy.
What,
your friend Matt Sarah. If I told Matt that, Jimmy, don't fucking leave.
I love that you made him fucking raging
Matt.
Bull.
That's how Matt is.
Yeah.
You overcooked
the steak. It defeats the purpose.
Matt's too nice to do that. Like, Matt's not an abusive guy. He's just a loud Long Island dude. But Matt can never be abusive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He just, like, LaMotta was a fucking prick at one point. Matt's never been a prick. Matt's just a good guy. Loud. Donnie, Chris the producer. Matt has don't even think of fucking around energy.
Oh, absolutely.
You know him?
Yeah, I met him once at Sirius, and I was like, this guy's, yeah. That's a man we just do not fuck with.
Yeah, he's a very, very lovely guy. Give me the last read, I'll do it. Can we get a wrap up?
Oh, sure. Okay. This is a very timely one.
Yeah, I'm happy. Oh. A timely one. Ooh. Hope it's for condoms and how I don't
hey.
Wear
them.
Ah, boy, this is a... All right, this was fun.
Yeah, it was a good episode.
Thank you to Wycliffe Jean for coming in. Well, who is he on Twitter? Let's plug Wycliffe's Twitter. He was very fun. I did not ask him about Trump questions. I should have. But we were just, you know, it's sometimes when a guy walks in, people go, "Why don't you ask him about being the president or the charities running this?" I literally didn't think of it. Like, I had all this stuff on the prep sheet. I wrote it down. But he's a fun guy to talk to.
Yeah.
I just didn't think to follow up with the Trump question. So I apologize if somebody wanted me to ask something and I didn't.
I didn't know.
He seemed like he was very open to have a conversation about anything. He even brought a guitar. He was going to sing. We didn't ask him to sing.
Yeah, I didn't know he was. And you find out he's in apocalypse shape. And you're like, "Wow, I just want to talk about your plan."
I forgot he was on that fucking song, that Shakira song. I love that song. I'm a hips don't lie. Na, 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 na.
If you heard my,
I love that song.
Very honest reaction to that was because I jerked off to that music video more than any other music video.
He said the same thing when I mentioned the safety dance.
Yeah, we can dance if we want to. And I'm like,
yeah, the little guy jumping around.
Oh God, if they're no friends of ours.
Yeah, no friends of ours.
I'm almost there.
On that maypole, yeah, the little fella dancing, having fun.
Oh, his thick wrists. Oh, those thick wrists.
Yes.
Oh, he's just at Wyclef on Twitter.
WYCLEF. I'm gonna send him a tweet. Now we get the pictures. Let's see how they come out. No flash again. I'm amazed how people insist on taking it. And I know I sound like a prima donna dick. I know it.
Can we start calling you Flash?
But Jimmy Flash Norton? It's almost like the first time I didn't bitch, but it was like literally six times. I'd be like, we should just get a Flash. We should
and
get
then
a Flash.
They go in the other room and then they roll their eyes. They go,
yeah, like, oh, he's a dick. And then we get the pictures and it's not good.
The diva wants a Flash. Is my lighting good, boys?
Yeah, I know. I sound like Joan Crawford.
Is my lighting good?
Yes, get me a Flash and then let me beat you with a hanger that you hung this dress on.
I hate you. There are nipples on the shoulder. Get proper light. I want my picture to shine. This man's a founding member of the Fugees.
Yes, why wouldn't we have a Flash? I've asked for a Flash. It looks like I have man titties.
Oh, I don't like the bottom of my bosom.
I don't like the shadow my bosom's cast on my stomach.
I want fresh flowers every podcast.
And me undies. Yeah. I want good modal feeling underpants.
You are a regal man.
That's right. If I get fired from acting, I'll drive with Lyft.
That should be your read.
It should be. This was fun. Thank you, man. Dan, you're just brilliant and funny. I love having you on any show I'm on. So anytime, come back.
I love hanging out with you, bud. And this was great. And I was really worried that all these MMA fans would be like, who's this fucking dipshit? But I am a fan, but a casual fan. I don't act like I know shit.
So thank you to the great Wycliffe and, of course, Anderson Silva. Even though it was hard to understand what the call, there was a lady there. There was a guy.
Oh, I loved his diplomat voice. It makes me just want to fucking watch him kick his head off on Saturday.
But it was great to talk, Dan. It's always great. He's the nicest at the beginning, at the end, because he was so happy to be wrapping up the chat. Oh, guys,
I love you. I'd name my next child after you. You're so beautiful. Yes. We're going to go now. Okay, bye. It's when you're walking down the driveway.
He's a lovely guy.
Yeah. I loved when he halfway through where he just has an interpreter. Where he's like, just tell me what they're saying.
Yeah, what? Here's what that was. I was talking and he just looked at the interpreter. What? All right. Thank you guys very much for listening. Chris, good job today.
Thanks, man. You guys too.
And thank you, Matt. Hope you're okay. We'll see you Wednesday. Goodbye. Yeah,